Surprise! Welcome to the postscript of the Visionary Leader Summit. As you should know probably by now, my name is Nicole Farcou, and I'm here today with Jenny Hegland. And the reason that we're here is because Jenny and quite a few other people have been asking me to know more about me. And Jenny reached out to me and she said, can we do an interview? And I was thinking about how I could share more about who I am with the list, with this group, and with this audience. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. So here we are, we're doing it. So I'm gonna turn this over to Jenny and I'm gonna not drive right now. I'm just gonna be in the passenger seat.
Awesome.
Hi, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Nicole, for this opportunity. I've gotten to know you just a tiny little bit through talking about this idea so far, and it's really been a pleasure. For the people listening, if you're anything like me, you found tremendous value in this summit, because I have. I know that I'm someone who kind of looks around me every day and wonders when this leadership narrative that needs to shift so much is going to. And actually, ironically, today is a day when thousands of students are walking out of their schools, standing up for what they believe in and a safer future for their schools. And I think it's just such an important time when that leadership narrative is shifting. And I think what you provided through this summit was obviously conversations with so many experts with different perspectives, but there was a common thread. And it was really just inspiring and a really great learning experience. I noticed too that I thought that the conversations were so rich because of what you brought to them. I thought that you had such a natural sort of inquisitiveness about you, and the way that you were able to sort of link your conversations together and find those common threads and see the patterns, I thought really elevated the learning to sort of another level. And it also made me think, as I was observing and taking in all this learning, you know, who is Nicole? Like, what kind of work do you do in the world, and where are you in the world, and what brought you to this point, to this summit, and to being someone who's hosted this wonderful leadership summit. So with that, I'm hoping that you would share with me and with the others listening what your story is and what brought you here.
Well, I'll start with what the values are that I think are core to who I am and why I do this work and why this work works for me. And I think there's sort of these three core things that motivate me. One is just a belief in the innate dignity and worth of all humans. Mm. And the belief in interdependence, that the way forward into the future, you know, is the way forward to create a world that works with everybody is interdependence. And the belief that we need to have a world that works for everybody is grounded in just this idea of interdependence. And then the last value is sort of, it's a word that I've made up, but it's about I call it growthenticity. And it's like this intersection of personal growth and development in service of becoming your whole, most big self, so that we can, and because I believe that it's from that place that we can make our greatest contribution to the world. And so, I guess my story kind of just my 10 second or 30 second version of my story starts in my family with when I was little. From the outside, I had everything that you could need. I was in a very well-off, comfortable family. And from the outside, things looked really perfect. And from the inside, they were a lot harder. And my dad had, we later found out he had PTSD from his time in Vietnam, but we called him a rageaholic, and things were really tense in my house all the time. And I was criticized a lot, and I kind of found my way into the role of being a peacekeeper and trying to like make everything calm all the time. And as a result of that, I often didn't feel a lot of worth. I didn't feel important. I wasn't seen. I didn't feel my needs didn't, there wasn't really space in many ways, I feel like, for my experiences and my needs. And so as a result of that, I struggled through my middle school years and later elementary school years, like so many people do. And I found my way into doing peer counseling and peer mediation. And so, and it was like for the first time that I started to learn about my capacity to listen, and that was really valuable for people. And I started to feel worth because I could help other people, and in many ways help them to have the things that I didn't feel like I got, which was being seen and being valued and being supported. And so I think even in my really early days, like that laid the foundation for what I do now, which is organizational development consulting. And I fell into organizational development consulting. I didn't actually anticipate that as a career. At one point, even I heard, you know, I was doing career exploration and I was in grad school and there was like people from McKinsey and they were coming to do talks about a career as an organizational development consultant. And I was like, oh no, who would want to do that? Who would want to do that? And then personal circumstances kind of led me into doing it. And what I found when I had been for so long, I had done a lot of different work that was oriented around working with people in the margins. I'd been a special education teacher working with middle school students in the inner city New Orleans specifically, who had emotional behavioral disorders. I ended up becoming a special education director. I worked in Mexico for a while. I spent time in Nepal working on human rights issues and women's health issues. If you search me on Google, you'll find me passionately talking about uterine prolapse, which is this thing I was really involved in Nepal. But I always had this feeling of not having an issue because I cared about all of it and I was really struggling. And I saw connections, and I always really struggled to figure out, should I be working at the personal, interpersonal level or at the systemic level? And neither one really was satisfying because I really held them both. And I didn't want to pick one issue because I really cared about everything. And so I found my way into organizational development consulting completely accidentally. And while I was there, I've been reflecting on why I stayed in it. And I think why I have stayed in it is because it meets my brain's needs of being able to think systemically and see patterns and make sense of things. But it also activates my heart, and I'm able to work in that, the listening, you know, ought to offer my listening to folks and like listening in this deep way where it's not just to what they're saying, but also to what they're not saying. And the feedback I've received is about my ability to help people get more clear about what they're trying to say, even through the listening that I'm offering is like, and the reflection that I offer in that listening. And so my heart and also the peace work that happens in organizations, because so often there's interpersonal challenges that are a part of sorting out how to be more effective. And my spirit is also touched in this work because I'm able to feel like I'm making a contribution and making, you know, some small meaningful contributions to trying to make the world more equitable and more kind, more kind, more possible, more workable for everybody.
Something that struck me so strongly when you were speaking, you know, about your values was this ability to be witness to other people's experience and to see, you know, with your mind's eye and your heart's eye. And, you know, as I hear you talking about that, and the value that brings to organizations, that was such a common theme across, you know, in your interviews with the experts, that, you know, that what is relational matters. It's not just secondary to getting to some end game, right? But it is the work to not only be able to model that yourself, do that yourself, but to be able to create the space for those kinds of seeing and hearing and being witness to other people and upholding their dignity.
Yeah. And I think that was definitely something that I talked about in my interview with Peter Block, because in some of his writings, he talks about personal work doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I think what I came away understanding after our conversation is that personal work alone doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I think personal work in service of our increased ability to work together is vital, because, I mean, we, you know, it's not easy to work together It's not easy to be in a partnership, to work with one person. It's not easy to be in an organization. It's not easy to lead a group of people to do anything. It's not easy to work with other organizations. And I think to be more effective in that space requires constant vigilance on who we are and how we are and how we can be better, and our ability to even receive feedback from the people that we're working with, and how what we do with that feedback, what the experiences of that for us is also important to actually ultimately increasing our effectiveness in the work that we're doing, which is what it's all about.
Yes. So that's a perfect sort of segue to what I wanted to ask you about next, because one of the things that I appreciated so much about what you did in engaging the speakers was you really asked them to articulate their visions for the future, their visions for the possibility of how the future could be different from what it is today. And one of the fields that has influenced me so much in the work that I do is appreciative inquiry. And it sort of asserts, right, that we're always projecting stories ahead of ourselves, and we're living into those stories and those ideas that we hold for the future, those visions. And I thought there were so many powerful visions that were, you know, just vividly articulated, such that you could almost see it. You could almost feel a future that was different, you know, from what you've ever experienced in the past. So I'm curious, you know, what is your vision? What is the possibility that you hold for the future of organizations, and how that can serve them in being more effective?
Yeah. So part of what was really exciting for me about broadcasting the Visionary Leader Summit was the interactions that I started to have with folks who were watching it, like you and others. I'm still blown away by that there were over 3,700 people that signed up to watch these interviews from over from six continents, and it's just blows my mind. And so what was so exciting for me about that is that the people who were, at least that I was in communication with, there seems to be that we share a commitment to creating this a new world, and that there's all these people all over the world, all over the country, my country, that feel that way, and that we all believe we have a role to play, and that we all get that we can't do it alone. And so that was really exciting for me, and I think that speaks to what my vision is for organizations is this. I have a little formula that I like to organize my work around, and it's sort of like intentionality plus interdependence plus growth anticipity, which is my fun little word, equals impact. And what I want is for the people who are doing this work and the organizations that are doing this work to hold themselves as precious resources, to hold their collective impact as this real gift to the world, and the possibility of the way that they can work together to do the service that they're doing and to create this new reality is in fact a modeling of how the world can be. So I don't want organizations, and this really brings up a lot of what Jean Bell talked about in her interview. I don't want organizations to be replicating the same dynamics that are challenging for us in the world right now. I want organizations to be figuring out the new way of relating to each other and engaging with each other and with the world, with their communities, to show that, to live that. And so that's sort of my hope and my vision. And it includes things like everybody has an important contribution to make. And even when you're just wanting to kill someone, how can you tease out how can you hold at the same time? You are really frustrating for me. This is really hard for me. And I still believe that there's something that you have to offer to this work that is essential for our impact. And how can we use that to transform our dynamic and to transform our work to be even more effective? And I guess the last way I think about it or visualize it is, it's almost like I view this, I have this image in my mind of there's a river that's flowing, and there's a water tank over here that is completely full because the river is sort of nicely diverted off and the water tank is like really full. And then there's a water tank over here and like there's just not very much water in it. And so there's all these people that are like, wait, this tank doesn't have any water. And there's this big flowing river. Why can't we get water into this tank? Mm-hmm. And so there's all these people who are trying in different ways to get water into the tank. And they're using their life force. Some of them are, you know, building channels to get water in the tank. And some of them are walking with spoons and putting little drops of water in the tank. And other people are using buckets. And like, there's all these different ways people are trying to get water in the tank. And so, and the,
I love that. I love that vision. That's so powerful.
Yeah. And the sweat and like the physical exertion that the people are putting itself is a precious resource. And so, so I feel like when I look at organizations, I see buckets that have holes in them or, you know, spoons that have holes in them, or like people are using strawberry baskets with like handles on them and all the water is kind of falling out and it's not actually getting into the tank. And so really what I want is I want all the water that all these people are trying to get into the tank to get in the tank, because we need that tank to be full. And so I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's how.
Well, the things that are coming to my mind is, you know, like social architecture and also the line that Adrienne Marie Brown said, you remember how, when she said that artists aren't neutral, it makes me think that neither are engineers and neither are architects. And I love thinking of that with your image. It's beautiful.
Right. Right. And actually what happened if we were actually having fun while we were taking the water from the river into the tank? Like what if we were singing and chanting and like it was, you know, and then the physical experience of it, it would not actually even be an exhausting one, but actually could be an enriching one. And I mean, I feel like I'm so Pollyanna when I say all that, you know, but we have to have a vision that we're working toward. So,
it doesn't sound Pollyanna to me. It sounds life-giving and generative, and generative is my favorite word. So speaking of words, I want to just go back briefly to your made up word because I really love it. Could you speak a little bit more to it?
Yeah, sure. So the word is growthenticity, and you know, when I play with my values, like I the words of authenticity and integrity are really important to me, and personal growth has just is an important part of my path. Mm-hmm. And I think that so growthenticity came out of, for me, was like, it's not just personal growth for the sake of like, of it feels good to go to this workshop or, you know, like, but it's actually in service of me trying to be my most authentic, most big, most whole, most powerful self. And because I do believe that it's from that place that I have the most to offer. Mm. And so, you know, it feels important to me to look at what are the ways that I am not being that, and how can I develop practices and techniques to be more of that? Because I believe that if we are each being more of that, then that is a really important way of helping to shift the narrative to transform the world. And so, the authenticity part for me is about, it's the other word that I, the other jargony word that I think with that is about alignment, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, whether it's in within myself or within a group of people, mm-hmm. if we are moving in the same direction, just at a physics level, our energy is going in the same direction and we can go farther and we can go faster. And if we're going in opposite directions, we're pulling against each other, we can't make forward motion. And so, the growthenticity, like I think of authenticity as a full alignment within myself. Mm-hmm. And so it's like growing, you know, being intentional about the way that I show up in the world that allows me to be my most authentic, my most aligned, my most whole self. Mm-hmm. That's what that word means to me.
Thank you so much. I think that articulation really helped me understand what it means to you. And also it reminds me of so much of what I thought to myself as you know, just the power, you know, that all transformation is linguistic and the power of words, you know, words create worlds. And I love when people make up words, it's kind of like personizing,
right?
You know?
Personizing.
Yes. Yeah. Powerful. And just, you know, what are the words we're using to step into new meaning? I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I know that one of the things, that I heard you say throughout the summit was, and you actually mentioned it just a few minutes ago as well, was, you know, that you want people to know, it was part of your motivation for doing this, that you don't have to do this work alone. And you don't have to not be whole alone in your attempts to try to do the work in the way that the systems in the space is now. And so I think building community around the summit, you've already started to do that through the Facebook group. I know people, I've connected with people through this that I never would have met, and it's been really just powerful. So what's sort of, what are you seeing in relation to the community that's being shaped around this, and what's next?
Let's see. So I feel like there's a couple of different questions in there. Let's hold the what's next question.
Okay.
And let's talk about the community question.
Okay.
First, which is, you know, like I said, one of my values is interdependence. And so that, you know, interdependence and community and connection, like they're just all in that family of word, you know, for me, they're all included in what I mean by that. And so in working in organizations, what I find, and I mean, this is not, I'm not the only one that finds this, leaders really often feel very alone. It's very, very hard to be the leader of an organization. And so it's super important for the sustainability and the well-being of those leaders, and I believe of the people that they are leading in their organizations, that they have good support, that they have good networks, and that they have mechanisms to support their own development in terms of they're able to get feedback and they're able to have people to think problems through with, and they have people who are there to support them when things get hard, because they are so often hard. And so I think that I, part of my hope for the summit is that people would be able to experience connection with other people from very unexpected places who also share a same orientation, and just that there's a way of giving, like, there's something about just knowing that you're not alone that is even helpful, even if you haven't yet made a personal connection with someone. And so that was sort of the first level of my hope of building community, is just people reminding each us and each other that there's so many of us out there. Actually, one of the metaphors or images that I use is thinking about being a foot soldier in an army of warriors and midwives who are trying to create and bring about and birth a new world. And that it's, and I think so much of my childhood, there was these, you know, charismatic leaders, or like the Martin Luther Kings and the Mother Teresa's and the Gandhis, like the big three, that they always come up, you know, but we can't all be them. We actually don't need us to all be them. We each need to just do our part. And that somehow it's like through, that was one of my big takeaways from the summit. Like it got into my, it was like an embodied understanding of this in an even bigger sense, that we all have a really crucial role to play, and that it's not necessarily the person who you're going to find on the poster in the library, but like we all have important roles and important work, and knowing that we are one of this mass of people that are working together to try to create a more kind and workable world, for me is sustaining in to a certain degree. So that's the first level. And then the second level is actually building the concrete network. Like people need to have that. And so if people don't have that, I want them to have that. And I want them to find it, whether it's with other people who are in their physical area, whether it's with other leaders of other organizations, or whether, if, you know, heaven forbid, people connect in the Facebook group and start making relationships. And one of the hopes that I have for
Facebook land,
like real relationships, like in-person relationships. And so one of my, I mean, and I'm a consultant, right? I've been from a, that is what I do, is I offer services to people. And so if you don't have that and you want that, I am available to support in that way. And that is part
of what if I'm the leader? What if I'm the leader, as you would say, with capital L, or not? And I just think, you know, I don't know what services I need, but something here just isn't right. I think we've all had that sense in an organization at some point in our lives. Like let's say I call you and I know you have services, but I don't know what I need. How do you navigate
actually that's where it starts is just sort of like a, I had a catchphrase for it the other day that I came up with, and I'm not remembering at the moment, but it's just like a diagnostic call. It's like, hey, let's talk, tell me what's going on. And that's absolutely where it starts, is like, and that's actually something that I want to offer to this community, is if anybody wants to have a call with me, like we can have a 30-minute call where you just kind of tell me. And then hopefully through that call, I'm able to give you some clarity about where you might want to put your attention, because there's so many different, you know, there's so many different ways that we can go about trying to solve a problem, but the definition of the problem is so important. And so if you can,
and so hard to see when you're in the middle and there's a lot of fog,
and that's where reflection is really, really helpful. And that's one of the things that, you know, I have worked really hard to be able to claim, like, I'm a good listener and I reflect really well. I can listen and help you get clarity. And there is a lot of other people that can do that too. So find somebody, whether it's me or somebody else, if you're not clear, get someone to listen and help reflect back to you and help you find clarity on, you know, the many things that might need attention. And then the one that right now feels like it's the best one to focus on. And because you can't attend to everything at once, but it's amazing how if you just pick one, everything else can kind of shift and orient around that. So I do think that it all starts with trying to, like, I love how you describe it, because that's really how it shows up. It's like, there's something off here, and there's all these different threads that kind of weave together to be like, to this kind of yuckiness, this yucky situation. And so then it becomes about, how can we tease apart those threads first so that you can just see what all the different threads are, because it's really hard to even see them. And then once you're like, oh, okay, there's this, and 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 there's this, that even feels, it alleviates some of the yuckiness. And then there's from that place of exhalation and slight relief, you can figure out maybe how you're going to move forward with it.
Wow. So what would you say to someone who says, you know, who feels that kind of disconnect, the dissonance, really the grief and the sadness? Because I mean, let's be honest, how much time do we spend in our workplaces and with the people we work with, and how miserable so many people are, you know? There's a lot of sadness and grief when I talk to people about, you know, what their experiences and sort of the dreams that they had that they could do that weren't possible. What do you say to somebody who's in that kind of space to have hope that actually things can change and shift in human organizations?
What do I say to them to have hope? I think what I say to them and what I say to myself when I'm feeling limited hope about different situations is I anchor in my experience with the unbelievable power of shifting our mindset and our relationship to a particular situation. And it's kind of crazy how you can be stuck with something, and if you build the muscle of relating to that thing differently, it can shift. And so, and that doesn't mean that you also can't be active in trying to change the situation. But often if we can get into different relationship with the situation, we can be more effective in trying to change the situation.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. Okay, so I'm just noticing that we wanted to keep this to around 30 minutes. And so we're almost to that point. But I guess, is there anything else you would want to share with the folks who are interested in knowing more about you and knowing what's next?
Yeah, so let's see. So I asked you to put that question on hold, so we should come back to it. So it's not hanging out there. So what's next is I'm just very excited about the reaction of folks to these interviews, and I want to keep that flow going. And so I'm definitely imagining doing another summit later in the year. And I'd love if people have ideas about what, you know, about that. There's actually already some people that have reached out to me and said, if you do another summit, include this person, or I want to be involved, or this and this and that. And so I'm very much open to those ideas. The current thought that I have is that I might actually want to have the summit be kind of around the idea of resources and money and time and those things in relation to leadership. This is very much like an in-process idea, so I haven't landed on it, but just what it would be like to have a lot of conversations with people who spend time thinking about the relationship between people doing social change work and money and all the trickiness about that. Cause and maybe that's just for me, it feels tricky and intense, but I think it would be interesting to have a lot of the conversations about that. So that's one thing. That summit probably is, you know, later on in the year. And in the meantime, I'm hoping to do a series of Facebook Lives, maybe even with some of the experts who are on the panel, that were part of the summit, if they're available, but also with other folks that weren't able to participate in the summit. And so just continuing to offer really interesting thinking and conversations that will be coming. There also will be an offering that I make for, like, as I said, I'm happy to, I would love to be in conversation with folks about the work that they're doing and offer my own services around consulting and coaching, if any of that is interesting to folks. And I'm also trying to figure out how to meet some of the needs that the audience has. And there was a survey that went out. And so there really does seem to be, so far the results of the survey are that there's interest in getting more clarity around strategy and how to build some of that, build some of the responsive agile strategy that was talked about by several of our experts, which is definitely one of the areas of consulting that I have been involved with previously. So I'm thinking about some sort of like a remote offering around how to develop strategy, and hopefully through that program we would be building community as well. And so there's that, and then the Facebook Live, the part of the Facebook Live series and the speakers continuing to have speakers being engaged would be to help folks in the Facebook group stay connected with each other and to continue to deepen their connections with each other as well. So those are all of the things at this moment that are like on the burners, I guess. They're simmering.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you, but before I say a few closing words of gratitude, is there anything else that you want to make sure that you share?
Let's see.
Are you glad you did this?
I don't know.
It would have been a tremendous amount of work.
Oh, am I glad that I did the summit or the interview?
The summit. Yes. Well, I have the interview.
The interview, I'll wait and I'll see after, I'll look at it later after I've gone away from it and come back.
Okay, so I can't pull a Peter Block and be like, what was useful to you about this interview?
No, it was...
That would also be interesting to know.
What was useful to me about this interview? It was really, well, I am so grateful for your gratitude. Like, the fact that you have been so... in my words, so touched by the summit and the content of the summit and all of the effort and time that you have put in to developing those amazing graphics and to wanting to reach out with me and to wanting to know more about me and to wanting to continue to think about these ideas and all of the work that you put into to even framing our conversation today and like your enthusiasm for everything. Like it's so like nourishing and exciting and hopeful. And it's what I had hoped would happen from the summit, right? That like you would be inspired by it. And so the fact it's like, I am so grateful that you were inspired enough to put so much of yourself into this. So that's, let's see. So what did I get out of this interview?
No, technically you're supposed to be the one asking that because you were the interviewee, but please, I do want to hear.
Oh yes. Okay. What did you get out of this?
Oh, no. I'm just making that point, but I still want you to answer.
I'm like, wait, I did answer that question with Peter already. Yeah.
Now you're answering it again.
No, it's interesting for me to have the opportunity to be able to share my perspective in a more intentional way and to get out of my head and to try to put words to the feelings and the thoughts that I have in an organized way that hopefully other people can understand.
Awesome.
Yeah. What did you get out of this interview?
I guess for me, even the yes that you said that you gave me and when I asked if I could interview you was sort of a welcoming into the space of a community of people that I have so much deep respect for and that I am I'm honored to be able to contribute to people who are envisioning leadership and the shifts in community in a way similar to I am. The way that I am. So I guess what I take away is just, chipping away at the isolation, and feeling just really inspired by your vision as well as the yes, that the visions you shared and the yes that you offered and just even having this conversation.
Yeah. And I want to, echo that too, which is that the reason that this offering of the summit has been made is because I have such profound gratitude for everybody out there that is trying to help create this new world. And I'm, because we need each other to make it happen and it's hard work. And I'm just so, it's so gratifying and inspiring and hopeful for me to get to have more concrete images of those people and who they are and like that I never would have known about you. And there's so many people now around the world that I never would have known about. And now I have a sense of who they are. And it's great to feel like, okay, these are the foot soldiers in this
yes.
work.
This is the army.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those students today, I'm telling you that I'm seeing all over the news, they are also the army. And that right there gives me like chills throughout my body because that is some serious, serious inspiration.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe that is a note that we end on.
Yeah.
For this, and
we could just keep going, but we got yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you for the start of a beautiful friendship. Also.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure. Really, my pleasure. Thanks, Jen.
Adios.